We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Heat Beat. With Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today is our producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Woo!
A sick, and I mean sick as in not sick like good, like sick as in, you know, mucus infested. Heat Twitter president, Alf.
I'm playing hurt.
I'm hurt, dog.
And special guest, the newest member of the Heat Media, and as Justice Winslow called him, the new guy from the Palm Beach Post, Anthony Chang.
Woo! You guys could also refer to me as a new guy. I'm cool with that.
The new guy?
Yeah, the new guy works.
Have you seen the movie The New Guy?
No, I have not.
Has anybody seen it? Am I alone?
I've seen a new girl.
I love New Girl. Bro, Alpha, have you seen New Guy?
It's a terrible movie. Let's move on.
Okay. No, it's not.
Stop.
Okay, we don't have time. We have too many important things. I will deal with that take later. I guess we're going to get right into it because this Chris Bosh thing has been not just a nightmare, but like a swirling nightmare. And swirling nightmares are always worse.
Wait. I thought this was about Batty.
This is about what?
Shane Batty.
I thought this podcast was about Batty Aoki. We're talking about Bosh.
Well, no, I actually, you know, it was supposed to be about Batty Aoki, and Anthony was going to come on breaking down Spoh's singing, but... So, I don't know. Chris Bosh is
not everything. That's not what I'm doing.
Oh, Brian didn't tell you.
Oh God.
Oh, do you want to start with that? Were you at Batty Aoki?
Yeah, I was there last night.
Did you describe to us Spoh singing?
Spoh singing was interesting. I think the most interesting part is after he finished, he got his cell phone out and took a selfie with his wife and him, which I thought was kind of out of character for him.
Spoh takes selfies?
He's a married man now, so maybe he's changed. But it was very interesting. Pat was there, and so was Andy Ellisberg. Bosh was supposed to be there, but obviously he was not.
So the pillar of evil was, I'm kidding.
Yeah, pretty much.
According to Heat fans.
LeBron was there?
No. Dude, you people want your crazy fan theories that LeBron is the pillar of all evil, and this is all his fault.
Fake.
What?
He's a virus. He's a virus. 4 years ago, or 6 years ago, lied dormant, and now reaping.
Yeah, you sound like you're the Terminator.
I thought that's because he was sick. I didn't know.
Well played.
No, you know that's how he gets. You know, the president sounds like the Terminator when he gets sick. Oh my God! All right, so where were we? Batty Aoki, Spoh, Pillar of Evil. Oh, Pillar of Evil. So we have these fans, and I guess let's start with how the media is divided, right? So I don't really think it's a fan perception. I think it's so. Like, some guys have their player sources, some guys have ownership sources. And we have all this conflicting, not conflicting, but sort of contrary reports, right? So one is pro-Bosch, another is pro-organization, and we have this thing. And I think as fans, the fan base is not, like, stupid anymore, right? So, like, they're kind of woke to what's going on, right, Alf? Like, we know what's going on here.
We kind of know who talks to who. I don't know who Anthony talks to yet.
Anthony, who are you talking to?
I'm still developing that source, so give me some time. Give me some time.
Okay, we'll check
in. Jankovic?
We'll check in.
It was actually O'Carroll Wright, but, you know.
Hold on, wait. Alf, who's that guy, Jankovic?
Stefan Jankovic.
Chang, do you know what that guy looks like? Because I don't.
I did meet him once at some back-to-school event, and he was very nice. That was the first, only time I've ever seen him.
So if he was standing behind you at a Starbucks, would you know it's him?
Only because he's like 7 feet tall.
Okay, but what if he was your size and like it was with other Eastern Europeans? Would you be able to differentiate him?
Probably not.
Because this is all these new guys. Like, it's so many people that I've never heard of. And Deion Waiters.
Starters.
Okay. Deion Starters, excuse me. Okay, so back to Pillar of Evil stuff. No, honestly, Alf, I want to have this conversation because so we have these conflicting kind of reports going on. And I think the fan base is kind of really, really sick of it. And I don't think people have talked about that a lot, I guess because they are the media, but it seems like it's annoying people at this point.
It all came to a head today. All the different reports, all the different sides, it all kind of came to a head today where really none of it mattered. And I've been saying it for the longest, and I don't know if Anthony will agree with me. None of what Bosch is saying, what was or what wasn't coming from the Heat, none of that mattered because at the end of the day, it was going to be a doctor. Whatever the doctor said is what was going to happen. And so it all came to a head today. A doctor checked out Bosch and he wasn't cleared. I mean, all this other stuff, this Facebook Live, this whatever, this thing he did with Maverick Carter, like none of that stuff matters if a doctor's not going to clear him. So what's your take on everything that's going on? And I guess since you're closer to it, like, you know, what's the latest? Like, what are you hearing?
Well, I agree with you, Alf. I think that all this stuff that's been going on for the past week or two is kind of just noise. And, you know, obviously it's interesting because you kind of see where Chris Bosh is at and what he wants to do and kind of his relationship with the Heat right now. But in the end, it's like you said, it was going to come down to the doctors. And really, one group of doctors, the Heat doctors, they're the ones that were going to make the decision if they felt safe enough to clear him. And from what I've heard and from the things people have said, the Heat were expecting or ready to move forward and clear him this week, you know, if he passed the physical. I know Barry's reported that too, but it all seemed like that's what it was moving toward and that was becoming the expectation. But obviously, there was something they found in the physical, and they didn't feel safe enough to clear him, which was definitely the right decision if they found another more clotting issues. And then Bosch went to New York on Wednesday, tried to meet with league doctors. They reportedly told him the same stuff. And I think it kind of sends a message to Chris. I think one of the most important things is Chris now sees that maybe it's not in his best interest to come back or to kind of slow down a little bit and take his time and see maybe later on in the year or 6 months, I guess it's probably the quickest if he'd be able to come back. If he can maybe make that attempt at a comeback again.
Do you think that he'll ever look at it as the Heat weren't trying to block me from playing, but were more actually looking out for my best interests? Or do you think that relationship is that broken right now?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of emotion in it. I mean, I think from an objective point of view, I think you could kind of see that. I think, to me, the Heat are doing it in his best interest. Because all this salary cap stuff, I never bought it. I mean, yeah, it would be nice for the Heat to get that money. I'm sure they want that. But it was going to be so difficult anyway. To kind of, not only do you have to, you know, not clear him and not let him play for this season up until February, but then once you waive him, then the Player Association and the NBA has to agree on a doctor, and Bosch wasn't going to be okay with that. So I do think that he were doing it out of his best interest because the salary cap stuff seemed like it was going to be too tough to pull off. Now I think eventually, maybe with time, he'll see that maybe they were doing it in his best interest. But I think it will take time for him to see that. I think right now I'm sure he's not doing well right now with the news that he found out this week. So I think with time he probably will.
To clarify, you said that this is both Heat doctors and independent league doctors, or this is
he went to New York. He went to New York to get assessed. Yeah, so that's where that came from. That some doctors, the NBA's doctors.
So Riley paid off the league doctors as well.
No, LeBron. LeBron, get it right.
Oh, LeBron. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Come on, and Maverick Carter.
Okay.
LeBron's not going himself. He sends Mav.
All right. Or what's his face? Damon Jones. He probably sent Damon Jones. Damon Jones carries the bag. Damon Jones.
Evil twin. Damon Jones.
He carries the bag full of money. That's what he does.
Has to be a duffel bag, right?
A duffel bag, yeah.
Nike or LeBron's logo?
Nike. Got to keep it low key.
Got to slam.
It's probably an Adidas bag, just so you know people don't recognize.
Nobody would suspect that.
Exactly. LeBron is a mastermind, man.
He's so methodical. He's calculated. Remember, are we buying? And this was something that I've been thinking about all day. Are we buying that the Heat were going to clear him today if nothing went wrong with the physical? That this was going to be over, right? Because I think through Barry's report and what Barry was saying, there was an impression given that obviously by the Heat that they were going to clear him and it was all going to be good after. And I kind of didn't think that was so, right? Like, I just thought that was kind of spin.
What could they have done? That's the thing I never understood. What would he going to do if he's cleared? If he passes a physical and he's cleared to play basketball by a doctor's, like, what do you think? They were just going to like lock the locker room and not let him in? Like, no, I never understood.
Apparently, they felt that he was going to be cleared.
They can say that all they want, whether they felt it or not, because that's it didn't matter. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter. I can say, I can say, Johnny, if you win the lottery tomorrow, I won't ask you for any money. I can say that all day long, because most likely you're not going to win the lottery, right? It's the same thing. They just did. Whether they expected him to pass or not, didn't matter. Because
it's a commentary on the PR spin going on, like, that's what's going on.
It's been nothing but spin. It's all nonsense.
From both sides, by the way. It's not.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It was all going to come down to the physical. It's like you said, if he passed the physical and he thought he was going to pass the physical, which led, I think, the Heat to believe that he was going to pass the physical, he would have been playing this season. But he didn't. And he's not going to play, and they didn't clear him. And that's what it came down to in the end. Everything else, all the other stuff, like Alf was saying, it's just noise and PR spin, and it led to this.
Is it true that the second part of that documentary was supposed to come out today and it hasn't?
That's what I heard, but talking to the people at Uninterrupted, they kept telling me they didn't have a confirmed release date on the second part, but I had heard it was going to be today, and they told me originally every 2 to 3 days a new episode was going to come out, but you wonder, I mean, obviously I don't know this for sure, but you wonder if what's going on right now led them to kind of delay it, maybe, or what?
They're rewriting the ending.
that kind of behavior suggest that Bosch really thought that this was going to all work, like that he genuinely believed?
Or he was talking to believing it.
Huh?
He was talked into
believing it. Okay, let's do that, because I feel like that's a more interesting show. Do you really feel like he was talked into this?
I do.
I don't. I mean,
that's an impression I got when I was on the other day with Ethan. Shameless plug. I was on there with Ethan and Riz, and one of the things Ethan was saying that is he felt that it was from people around Bosch that were pushing him to come back more so than it was from Bosch himself. Not saying that Bosch would come back, but the pushing, the kind of the passive aggressive statements and things of that nature, it felt like it was coming from people around Bosch. So I do think there was an influence around Bosch, and every Instagram picture and Snapchat and all that stuff that you kids love nowadays, like, they all had LeBron and Maverick Carter in them and Dwayne Wade.
The Mav Carter thing is weird, but I just don't see what LeBron benefits from pushing Bosch to play.
The destruction of the Heat, Gianni.
You believe.
The destruction of Riley.
Man, people believe that?
Dude, he's venomous, man.
But can I ask you, okay, and Anthony, I want to open this question up to you too. What could have made him feel this way? Either we're missing information or LeBron is pure evil. And don't say what you want to say, Al. He's not pure evil.
You're evil.
Go ahead, Alex.
Free Colin Kaepernick.
I mean, I think Bosch was led to believe that he was going to play just based on, like you said, the people around him. But I think the interesting thing is, speaking to like Dwayne at the bike event last weekend, speaking to Battier yesterday at Battiyoki, both of them said, first and foremost, they're interested in his health. And for him to take care of his health first. And then if he plays, I think Battier said, if he plays basketball, that's just a bonus right now. So it's interesting because a lot of, like, those two guys are close to him, obviously. And they kind of echo the same message that they want him to get healthy first and worry about that. And then basketball would come second. But Bosch seems really, you know, he seemed really adamant about returning and he thought he was ready. So it's, you have to wonder where he got that from. I'm not sure. That's all speculation, but he got that feeling from somewhere.
But, and while everything that you say makes sense, that, you know, and to be honest, I think we were all kind of surprised, I think, that how badly he wanted to get back on the court, considering all we knew about him, that he was kind of uniquely equipped to handle life after retirement. But just to say LeBron did that with mal intentions, like nefariously, I just don't see what he gains, because he already won. Like, he's won. Like, there's nothing that the Heat can do that can further him. Like, he won. That's it.
Well,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, Anthony, you go.
Okay. Go ahead.
I don't really buy the LeBron angle that much. I know it's kind of
popular.
Coincidence, obviously, that it was an Uninterrupted, which is one of LeBron's platforms. It was a Matt Carter. And I'm sure, you know, obviously, I even saw that and I was like, whoa, that's kind of interesting. But I just, like you said, I don't know, you know, obviously LeBron and the Heat didn't end in the best fashion, but I don't think he's necessarily trying to, you know, do harm to the Heat right in this, you know, with this at least. I think that Bosch probably saw, you know, he's connected to LeBron, obviously. He knows that's LeBron's platform and he used it because he's familiar with LeBron. He has a relationship with him, and they probably just work together on it. But I don't think it's malicious out of LeBron's.
I think it's more of the distrust that probably LeBron has for Riley in the Heat at this point, and then it built with Dwayne. And then maybe LeBron in his ear saying, hey, they're trying to stop you from playing basketball. Do you really trust them? Do you trust their doctors? And, you know, honestly, and this is all speculation, of course, because I don't really know crap. But I don't think it's like just some evil master plan. I really just think it's somebody's boy in his ear saying, yo, they're trying you. You know, you got to fight them on this. And when there really was no fight really to be had.
Is that so bad? Like,
Yes, it is bad.
Hold on, let's say LeBron has reason to distrust the Heat. Let's say, because I just... What?
There wasn't what was the fight to be had? There wasn't a fight.
You would admit that at times it looked bad. And I'm not saying that the Heat were nefarious about this, because I don't think that. I'm just saying that maybe from other angles outside of the insulated community of South Florida... It does look kind of bad knowing Riley. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think it looks bad.
I don't think that they were nefarious. I don't think that they tried to do anything. I just understand that it looks bad.
They could have brought him back when they really needed him in playoffs.
I know.
And they said no. We don't. Like,
I'm
we
not
would...
talking about what's so. I'm talking about perception in the public.
Oh, well, people are idiots, man. Yep, we have an election right now that shows you that.
I know.
Like, you can't. Who cares about public perception? That's what I'm saying.
This is all this is.
That's what I'm saying. Going back to the beginning, it's all a bunch of spin PR nonsense. None of it really mattered. It was all about a doctor. And the fact that if that was LeBron or anybody, his wife or whoever, his boys, anybody is here telling him that the Heat were, you know, out to get him when it was really just cut and dry doctor's opinions, you know, I do think that's, you know, that is a little bit, you know, suspect. If his friends and if LeBron and then people around him were actually turning him against the franchise when they're really, like I said, when there was no fight to be had. But I do want to ask Anthony this. I completely lost my train of thought now.
Yeah. Well,
it's the meds.
Ever the professional.
It's the meds, man.
Ever the professional.
I have a question for Anthony.
While you think of that, I want to ask.
Go ahead.
Okay, Anthony. Do you understand what I'm saying? How it looks bad in public, just the perception of it from the Heat's perspective.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it does, and I think Bosch is playing into.
No, you lost your chance. He gave a thumbs up. No, Alf. Actually, you know what? Alf's probably questions better than mine. You go. Yeah.
Go ahead.
My question sucks.
No, I want to know if Anthony was hearing the same things as some of the other reporters that Bosch has done and that he's not going to fight it.
That's such a better question than mine.
Well, the fact that he went to the NBA's doctors and they told him the same thing seems like that the Heat did. I think that, like we said, I think that kind of sends a message that he's more accepting now that he can't play. But I mean, I don't think he's decided, you know, today that he's going to retire. I think it's going to take time if he does decide that. I think he'll probably, like, you know, think about, consult with other doctors and see what the best route to take is over the next few months, few weeks, and see. I mean, yeah, now it obviously seems a lot less likely that the Heat would, or any NBA team would, clear him after another setback. So, you know, in the end, it could lead to retirement, but I don't think he's made that decision yet. It just the series of events and the way everything is playing out, I think it just makes sense that it would lead to saying, well, maybe his career is over. But again, I think over time, maybe he'll make that decision.
Will the Cavs sign him and play him one in a game for 25 games just to torpedo the Heat salary cap?
That would be awesome. They didn't do that.
I kind of want them to do that just so that, like, Twitter will burn.
We will take a caravan up to Cleveland and set that place on fire.
Led by Heat Twitter president. No, that's state-sponsored terrorism.
No,
by the fact, dude, you just literally, I said you, no, hold on. I accuse you of state sponsoring terrorism, and you're responsible.
No, because if you start setting things on fire in Cleveland, nobody will even notice.
God, Alf, what the hell, man? That's what, it's Detroit.
I
didn't say that either. I said it about Detroit.
That place is
have you ever been to Cleveland?
Who, me?
No.
Yeah, you know, Alf.
They won't allow me in Cleveland. I stay out of flyover state, sir.
What you mean, man?
I'm coastal.
You coastal? Is Louisiana coastal? Were you in the coast-ish?
It's on the coast of the Gulf of Mexico, I think.
That's right? Crappy coast.
I was by Louisiana, the Mississippi River.
That sounds awful. That sounds racist over there.
Oh my God. I can't tell you stories. That's a whole nother podcast. Jeez. It was ridiculous.
Brian's like done, dude. Okay, we'll go back to Chris Bostock.
What about training camp? Like, training camp opens on Monday. Like, what are we excited about?
No, it's nothing to be excited about.
There's a lot to be excited about.
Technically, it opens on Tuesday. Monday is media day.
Anthony, besides Bosch, what are the storylines going into training camp? Like, what are people focused on?
That's an awful question. That's an
awful question. No, it isn't.
What are the storylines? What are we? That's not our show. No.
I have
a question. I'll fill over. Yeah, I don't think Winslow can play the four because he can't shoot. And I feel like Winslow at the four is going to be a disaster on offense, like a calamity on offense. And they disagree with me. They disagree with me.
I mean, the thing is, who can shoot at the four? You're going to put McRoberts?
Babbitt. Not even joking.
Babbitt?
I'm not even joking.
I mean, defense is going to be suspect, and obviously rebounding too. But
you could
The options aren't, you don't have that many options, to be honest. Winslow, and then the thing about Winslow that I think works is because it opens up the 3-4. One of the other guys, you know, how the Heat have so many shooting guards, like Josh or Wayne Ellington can play the three, which lets them get on the court and Justice will slide over to the four. I think that you obviously want to play your best players the most, and that's a way to get the most talent out there at once.
I just feel like if you put Justice at the four, you kind of are forced to run Hassan pick and roll every time, because if you don't, you leave two non-shooters out there that people can pick. And I guess Hassan has more of a touch, right? So maybe he'll help out a little bit on that case. But I just think that the lack of spacing with that lineup is going to...
So you would just never play Hassan and Winslow together? Because it seems like all you want is Hassan and four shooters.
No, I wouldn't do it for long periods of time. Like, I think people think that Winslow at the four is going to be a thing that we go to a lot, that they go to a lot. But I just don't see where they're going to produce points, especially if Hassan's not in the game. Like, if Hassan's not in the game, like, I don't know what they're going to do. It might be one of those classic Spo puts out Udonis to buy 3 minutes of them not scoring.
Willie Reed doesn't exist?
Like, Deion Starters doesn't exist?
I mean,
we know Spoelstra. They're not going to... I mean, D-Wade jacking up those long twos is one thing. You think Spo's going to stand for Deion Waiters going isolation? Like, that's not how they run things. You know what I mean? Like,
this team's not going to score a lot anyway. It's going to be a defensive team. Like, this, I know, obviously, you want to get the lineup up where they're going to score the most in offensive line, but this team is going to be built around defense. And you guys know that, but I think having Justice out there, and
I disagree with you.
But you think they're going to be an offensive team?
I think they're going to have to, because your best players are offensive players. Your two best players are offensive players, Gordon and Hassan. They're better at offense than they are at defense.
I mean, maybe they score a lot of points or more points because they're going to play up tempo, but I just don't see them
I don't think they're going to be any sort of potent offense, but I think their focus is going to be run up and down the floor, spread the court, Dragic. How do I say his name? Because apparently I say it wrong all the time. Brian, somebody?
Dragic.
I say Dragic, and apparently that's wrong.
Dragic.
I'm not saying Goran. Screw it. It's going to be a heavy dose of Goran pick and rolls. So I don't know. If they're going to be a defensive team, what are you doing with your best player being an okay defender and mainly an offense? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I think the hope is that Hassan, you know, you have Hassan's protection at the rim. You're going to have athletic guards in there. And Goran's not, I mean, he's a bad defender. He's okay defender. I think
he improves a lot last year.
Goran was really good defensively last year.
I'm going to go really good. Okay.
I thought he was really good. But
LeBron was really good last year defensively. I mean, LeBron, you guys buried him, but he was...
He's still in the walk-in.
He was probably the second or third best defender on the team after Justice. And Dang.
What?
McRoberts?
He played like four games.
Small sample size.
Super small sample size.
Well, I need to pull up
the fourth best defender on the team. You and this love affair with McRoberts.
I think he's
creepy.
I think he's good.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Is it creepy? Is it creepy? Brian, put it on the poll. Is it creepy?
Yes or no? I will say, I think that if Justice does pick a small forward, I really think McRoberts will start at the four.
Thank you.
I'm not saying that's good or bad, but I'm just saying I think out of all the options, I would think that he would start Josh McRoberts to start the season at least and see how that goes.
I think you're talking about either Josh or Derek Williams at the four, starting another one as a backup, and then James Johnson floating between the three and the four.
I think Spo has no idea today what the hell he's going to do. I think it's all going to be determined in preseason.
Really?
Yeah.
I just think there's so many. Everybody, like, for example, you have like guys with such different skill sets behind each other. You know what I mean? Like, your options are Justice at the four or McRoberts at the four, and that's like two completely different worlds. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much variety in what he can do.
See, I know the Justice at the four idea got floated pretty heavily today. I see them going to it like with a three guard lineup, maybe, or something like that. Like, I don't see that as a starting lineup. I really think you're gonna, like Anthony's saying, you're gonna see McBob or you're gonna see Derek Williams starting at the four with Justice at the three. I mean, we ended the year last year with Riley saying it's time for Justice to start at the three. That'd be really weird. Like, he comes out as a 6'6" power forward, game one. I mean,
I think the ability of him is that he can switch onto power forwards and defend them well. He doesn't have to. I just think over elongated periods of time, bigger guys might wear him down. I think that he can switch off to them occasionally, but I just think guarding.
I think it's a waste of his athleticism because a lot of the most potent scorers in the league are at the three position.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. when you're going up against other, you know, the other team's best player, a lot of times it's Paul George, DeMar DeRozan. You know, I mean, just at the four takes him out of that equation a little bit. So I see it happening in small spurts, but I don't see him as a starting four. Maybe I'm wrong, but I also don't think that Spoelstra's going into this without a plan. I mean, I know he's flexible, and he's become more flexible as the years have gone on, but he also seems like somebody who is pretty, who goes into things with a pretty well thought out plan. I think he already has that in mind. I think the only thing that threw him off was that Deion Waiters signing. I think that just,
that guy's going to start.
I think he just probably threw away the whole playbook for that.
That guy's starting, man.
I think I agree with Al that Spoelstra definitely has a plan. I think, but the interesting thing is that there's so many guys on the team that can play multiple positions that it really is going to be a lot of experimenting in the preseason and even at the start of the season. I mean, you have Tyler who can play the one or the two, and I think he's going to play a lot of point guard this season. You have Josh Richardson who can play shooting guard, small forward. You have Wade Ellington who could get to play small forward. You have James Johnson who can play the 4-3. You have Justice who can play both ways. Luke Babbitt. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you could plug in different spots. So it's going to be interesting.
And Spoelstra loves that.
You know, it's going to be. Yeah, Spoelstra likes that. I'm sure.
It might be his favorite roster to coach.
I think he's going to love coaching this team.
It's going to be like his favorite year. He's going to be happy. He's going to be smiling. He's gonna
everybody has to listen to him.
Udonis doesn't have to listen to him if he doesn't.
Udonis is barely going to play.
Well, listen to Udonis.
Hassan might not listen to him, but then Udeo kick his butt.
I'm glad that you brought that up. Hassan is like the most coachable guy in the league, man. He fixes everything Spo gets mad at him about.
Yeah, but you hear the stories about him in the locker room pouting, upset.
Whatever, man, but he's asked.
Even when they were winning, he was upset about, you know. So I don't worry about that as much. I mean, that's the funny thing. We thought Snapchat was going to be the big distraction. It ended up being Bosh blood clot. So
and Dwayne,
like, so Hassan has gone like way down the list as far as distractions go.
You think Hassan's happy that they left because he's like, more glory for me?
I don't even think Hassan has even realized.
You think Hassan knows all this is happening?
He walks into training camp like, yo, where's Dwayne? Why isn't Chris here?
Wait, Benno, you're back?
Where's Luau? Anthony, who do you think they keep, Briante or Babbitt?
Briante.
Say Babbitt, and I will find you and fight you.
I think, if I were them, I would keep Briante, but I do think they're going to keep Babbitt just because of the guarantee.
You're going to get rid of that European guy.
Yeah.
What's that?
The European. Djokovic.
They're going to get rid of Djokovic for sure.
Did you say Djokovic, Brianna, like the tennis player?
He did say Djokovic.
I had a collection of Serbian tennis players that I was going to say, but I went for Djokovic. Djokovic, yes.
Djokovic, Stefan. No, I think Brianna is a borderline guy. The other guys won't be cut, most definitely. But Brianna is kind of the man out after the Udri signing.
But so we'll see. I think that's so
much. If you want to go back to the storylines of training camp, like you asked,
no,
I think that would be interesting.
No, dude, Briante was like Michael Jordan of Summer League, man. Did you see him? That man balled out. They're gonna cut him after that.
And he can defend too. You're talking about defense. He can D up.
That guy's gonna go to, like, I don't know, the Spurs, become Wes Welker. I swear.
Like, he's good. They wave him. If they cut him, somebody else is going to pick him up for sure. They won't be able to stash him again in the D-League.
No, he's good.
I'll be really pissed off when we keep Luke back.
I want Luke. That could be fun.
But is that the question as far as – because we know Magruder. We know all these guys are going to the D-League.
Why isn't he cut? Why are we cutting Briante over Gruber? What's his name?
No, he's not going to stay on the. He's not going to be on the 15-man roster. Okoro, White, whatever this new guy, Benson.
Benson.
Yeah, he's not going to be on the 15-man roster. No. So the only question is Babbitt or Briante.
Yeah, or I mean, you could say Woodley too, I guess, but I don't think they're going to let him go.
No, they didn't bring Woodley back.
But I mean, yeah, they got Tyler. Give him money, you know. Tyler.
I'd rather have Briante over Tyler.
Anthony, you have to understand.
What do you have against Tyler?
It's a ridiculous contract. Why would you give him that money? Like, I like Tyler Johnson. Like, I think Tyler Johnson's fun. I think he's pretty good. That's a lot of money in those third and fourth years that if you can't get rid of, it's the McRoberts contract.
I don't disagree with you, but it's not his fault.
It's not
his fault. He was surprised himself. He was surprised he had that money too.
It's Riley's fault. I swear, if you ask him again today and get him in a room and say, hey, Riley, do you regret the Tyler Johnson signing? Do you think he says yes? Because I do.
Give it a season. Let's see.
No, it's not give it a season. It's give it two seasons when he's stuck with that money.
I mean, you never know. I mean, the salary cap could jump. Another 10,
it doesn't matter. You're paying him so much money to be Tyler Johnson. He's not going to start. And he probably won't start in those years either because he's Tyler Johnson.
Anthony.
I was honest. Go ahead.
Gianni thinks you think it's white privilege that Tyler Johnson got that contract.
I think
he really did. No, you do. Don't lie. Don't lie and sugarcoat it. You think that it's white privilege that TJ got that contract.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. And I think he's a fan favorite because he has light skin. Yes, I do. Even though he's half black. I do. I think that's why people like him so much.
Hot take.
That's right. Birdman, too. Except Birdman was actually Birdman was black with all those tattoos and that mean mug and talk about hunting, you think everybody would be like, oh, he's so adorable? Get the hell out of here. He's terrified of him.
Did you have interactions with Bird?
No, I didn't. I missed out. But I've heard from Jason the stories.
I think Izzy told the great story that Birdman pulled a knife on him in the locker room. That's terrifying. If Birdman was black, you think that would go over so nicely? Not with Izzy. Izzy's cool. But...
God. So now he's a Cavalier, so you guys don't like him anymore.
I like him. I like LeBron. I'm the only one here that likes LeBron. I love LeBron. LeBron's one of my favorite players. I cheer for him every time he comes. I think he's awesome. I want him to win because he's awesome. He's cool. I think he's funny. I love LeBron.
I think he's a dirtbag. So
I think Tyler Johnson's agent's a dirtbag and a thief.
Oh,
and a thief.
No, you just need to blame the Nets. If you're gonna blame anybody,
The Nets. What was the last competent contract the Nets gave out? Offered. Answer that question, because it's none.
You know, the more I think about it, you might be right. That might have been a bad contract.
Oh, you think? Listen, if you're following what the Nets are doing, it's a bad contract.
Maybe Jason Kidd.
If we're going to lose Briante Weber over it, that piss me off.
Think about that. Look, we have Briante for cheap.
They're now probably going to lose Briante over it. Yeah.
No, it's just awful. And by the way, the Nets have still not recovered from that awful trade for Garnett, who's about to retire, and Paul Pierce.
If we lose Bosch, who the hell are we signing? We're gonna have half a salary cap's worth of salary available next year. Like,
do you think? No, I don't want to. I have a question. No, I have a legitimate question. Anthony, do you think Riley's Heat/Riley stock has been hurt by free agents, is particularly veterans, not maybe young guys, but some veteran players? Like, you think Riley's gonna talk to them or the organ, and they're gonna kind of think what they're saying?
I mean, I think it's hard not to think that it's been hurt just because of who the relationships that's impacted with Dwayne, Chris, and LeBron. Just those three guys are so connected with everyone else in the league, and they have so much cachet, especially LeBron and Dwayne. And you know, with their relationships ending the way they did, I'm sure they talked to other players. You kind of wonder too, like, what the guys on this team think. I mean, Justice, the young guys who are still impressionable,
who are influenced by Dwayne a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure they looked up to Dwayne, and they grew close in the year they played with each other. You wonder what they think about all of it, which is interesting. But, you know, let's say Riley signs another big free agent in 2 years, it's going to be, everyone will forget about it.
Like the big free agent who? Like it's Curry, Durant, Griffin, Chris Paul, and yeah. Gordon Hayward. Like, did like the Heat just go through all of this for Gordon Hayward? You know what I mean? Like, that's the big prize, or Paul Millsap?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much left. You're right. I mean, they'd have to.
And the chances that those top two guys move is probably unlikely, or maybe Durant.
Yeah,
but
I agree with you. I don't think there's really the hope of getting a big free agent next year. I just don't know who it would be. It would have to be, they'd have to pull up a trade if Russell decides he doesn't want to be in Oklahoma City toward the end of the year or in the offseason or something like that, or they have to wait till the next free agent class, because you're right. I mean, this class isn't that great, and I don't think those top two guys are going to leave their teams.
I mean, like I said, the best things that'll probably, I mean, and Chris Paul's going to be, how old is he going to be by that time? And a guy who's been hurt a lot. You're pretty much looking at Gordon Hayward and Paul Millsap and a potential D-Wade return. That's pretty much what you got. Nerlens Noel, like, it's just a bunch of B-list guys after the top three. Anthony, I know you have to go. You've been very gracious with your time. Thank you for your maiden voyage. We will have you on again on the program if you so wish. It was very fun.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me, and I look forward to tweeting with you guys in the future.
You're already better than Jason. I'll make sure to tell him.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Take care, man. Thanks for coming on.
See you.
All right, Brian. It's time for the mailbag.
All right.
I don't even know what questions we have. You're going to have to
welcome
read
to a new segment we like to call the Heatbeat Mailbag. You've sent us your questions and hot takes using the hashtag MHB Mailbag. Now it's our turn to give you our answers and tell you how wrong your opinions are.
I just think of Leif dancing and I can't stop laughing.
The last time we did the show.
All right, so this one comes from 23_MGS. He says, how long do each of you envision Pat Riley remaining on this current position?
That's as a great team question.
And who will eventually fill his role?
Spo. Alfie, you got a take?
Oh, you're done?
Yeah. Well, how long? Yeah. He said Spo, but how long?
Oh, my God. How long? Man, I can't imagine. Like, the thing with him is that, like, I think they'll probably strike out next year. Like, he will not want to finish on the bottom. Like, that's not who he is. Like, if maybe he'll finish, like, if they're, like, 500 first-round exit, you know, to, like, I don't know, the Pacers or something, maybe. But maybe 2 years, if it's not looking like it's going to get better, and if the franchise is not in utter disarray, I think maybe 2 years.
Yeah, no? I see a maximum of 2 years, and then Spo taking on a really large role where, you know, not necessarily president coach, but where he's the lead man on these free agent meetings. Because if when you listen to some of the reports, Spo is really impressive in some of these free agent meetings. And I think nowadays a lot of players are more into analytics and more into wanting to know how this coach, this system, this team is going to make them a better player. And I feel like Spo going forward, if as for the future of the Miami Heat, he is going to be the one to present that idea to players in sitting down in a meeting.
I think after Justice and Jay Rich, he's their biggest asset, Spo.
Yes, and Hassan.
I think he's a bigger asset than Hassan. I think he'll tell.
That's a piping hot take right there, sir.
But I believe that because I do think he's going to be involved in roster construction, and I think a general manager in basketball is important.
I think if you look at this roster, he was involved in roster construction. When you look at what they put together.
I thought the patchwork was as good as any team could have done.
Exactly. I think they got a bunch of... I think he's... You know, when they struck out on Durant, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, I feel like he put his foot down and he probably said, okay, now can we go for a youth movement?
Because, that's my way, yeah.
Yeah. This business of going after whales, and, you know, as much as we love Luol and Joe Johnson, and you just see, man, once the playoffs come around, some of these older guys, you know, the consistency falls off because they've been playing 100 games. So I think he had a lot to do with the construction of the roster so far.
Hi, Brian. Hit me.
All right, so one more question. This comes from J_83_C. He says, if you could rebuild the Heat with any current player as your star, who would be the best fit?
You want me to answer that? LeBron, dude.
Okay, well, how about someone that's realistically the next coming free agents, or maybe possibly as
talking
a
talking about like an up and comer?
Yeah, up and comer. Maybe someone from like the last five or six draft classes.
Giannis.
Oh no, I disagree with you, man. Really, you're gonna go Giannis?
Antetokounmpo, whatever his name is.
I think his ceiling is immense, and I don't think he'll ever reach it.
Him or Anthony Davis?
Towns, man, Towns. I take my answer back. I go Towns over LeBron.
You know the thing?
Anthony Davis is sneaky, not a great defender.
But I saw very little of Towns this year because I wasn't watching Timberwolves basketball. That wasn't going to happen. So I'll just have to take your word for it. Towns is, huh?
I know you don't gamble because like
no, I don't know. So
it's Kings on a Tuesday.
I'm gonna have to take your guys' word for Towns. He's on the T-Wolves, right?
Yeah.
That's how much I know about your Karl Anthony Towns. So yeah, I'll take your word for it. But I, you know, somebody like Anthony Davis. But and then we keep talking about, and I believe that'll happen, that there's going to be a trade with the Heat this year. But who are they going to trade for?
Hassan.
No, who are they going to trade for?
No, I don't see. Listen, situations in the NBA are fluid. So if a guy gets happy, there's tons of guys like Paul George. I mean, I just think. Listen, I have this feel, not a feeling, but I think the NBA is so top heavy, and I think that to beat the Warriors or a team like that, you're going to need some sort of super transcendent star that doesn't exist.
No, you know what
I mean? Who's the third best player in the sport? James Harden? Like,
yeah, I think you're...
It's not James Harden, but like Durant, Curry, LeBron, and then who? You know, like those are the guys. Those are franchise-changing guys. Like Blake Griffin has a good team, and he's not beating them.
The guys who are going to turn around your franchise are on two teams.
You know, yeah, it's so like...
It looks to me there's going to be like 3-4 years just drop for the NBA, and this is the time to just keep stockpiling the young guys.
This is the best time for Golden State to be good. Like, nobody's talked about that because, like, once the big three Heat fell apart, right? Like, it's the best time for them to be good. And Cleveland, too, by the way, because who did Cleveland really have to beat in the playoffs?
So they had to go through Biombo.
Like, they went through Biombo. Like, that was their biggest test, and that went 6 games. Like, it's not that the NBA is dry of talent, because there's a lot of talent. There's just not a lot of transcendent players that you're going to tell your kids about. Like, we're not going to tell our kids about Paul George and James Harden. You know what I mean? Or Paul Millsap. Like, all really good players. But it's not like, you know, son, daughter. You know, I remember watching Paul Millsap, you know.
And you're stuck on Paul Millsap.
He's so good, dude. He's so good.
I guess if you're...
Until the playoffs.
Gallinari's a good player, too.
I guess if you're the Heat.
Free agent 2017. That's a guy that I'd like.
Yeah.
Versatile, can play the four, can play the three, can shoot, super athletic, can do a lot of things, good defender. That's a guy.
What would if Blake Griffin was potentially available, was he a fit?
No, because playing next to Hassan, maybe because he's such a good passer, that would help, but we see but like him.
A front of Hassan, Blake, and Winslow would be
Let me ask you something.
They would exist in like a 3-foot circle, like
And look what they have in Los Angeles in the Clippers. They have Chris Paul, Blake, and DeAndre. Like, Goran, Blake, and Hassan. Is it going to be any palpably better than that, if at all? It kind of reminds me of what the Dolphins did. Like, how, you know, they put all their money in Sue, Tannehill, and Wallace at one point, and then you looked at the Lions. All their money was in Stafford, Calvin, and Sue. And the Dolphins three weren't better than the Lions three, and the Lions three weren't going anywhere.
They were expecting better results.
Yeah, like I feel like the Heat going after Blake Griffin is trying to get, unless you're expecting Blake Griffin to get a hell of a lot better and Goran to, like, you know, be on the best side of 30, I just think that those options aren't real realistic.
And that's the whole thing. I just don't even feel like Blake Griffin's a game changer.
No, I think he's a really good player, but he's not a fixer franchise kind of guy.
And
Clippers, but.
I'm almost just consigned myself to just think like, okay, we just got like 3 years of just subpar basketball, but it'll be young, exciting teams that we'll grow with. And then hopefully, you know, in 3 years, you know, either through the draft, through a trade, something happens where, you know, we're back on top. You know, I could see us back, you know, back to, you know, top half of the East in another 2 years. But, I mean, contending for a title. Huh?
know about that, man. It's gonna take. I think this rebuild's gonna.
Who's
take,
the top half of the East? I mean, after the Cavs,
Cleveland, Toronto. You have Orlando with some talent. You have Detroit with some talent.
So what do I you mean? Have do you have Indiana. To do a lot? Do you have to do a lot to pass those teams? No, they're not. I mean,
no.
Outside of the Cavs, there's nobody in the East that
in Indiana and Toronto are good.
If you added Blake Griffin to the Heat as currently composed, they become better than those teams.
Probably.
So that's what I'm saying. It doesn't take a lot to leapfrog into the second or third spot in the East.
Do you even want them to make the playoffs? Because like, I guess the best way to get better is to start hitting. I'm not saying because we think the same on this. Never lose on purpose. But if there was ever a time to lose on purpose,
this draft class would be it.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, you know, and it'll be like the Justice year. You fight and claw for it, and if it doesn't happen, oh, all right, great, you get a draft pick.
Michael Beasley last three games of the season.
Oh, he played game center. Was amazing.
The one in Orlando. Missed it, but I was following it through Twitter.
Is that
the
Soron 30-point game? Yes! I was cheering my ass off, and I'm bothering everybody else on Twitter with it because everyone wanted them to lose.
What a time to be alive.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.